I don't think many people know what the word pseudotachylite means. I wonder if you could start by just explaining what that word means.
Geologists are dreadful people in a sense, and a bit like lawyers. We have erected a very complicated jargon around our subject. The principles in geology are really generally quite simple, but a lot of the words are very complicated. And often we have three or four different words for the same concept, which is really useful. Pseudotachylite, well, pseudo sounds like something false, and tachylite is a glassy substance. So it's a sort of false glassy substance. Well, what does that mean? Well, the best thing to do is to actually just describe what we see in the Outer Isles. So in the Outer Isles, the Outer Hebrides, there is a major fault structure exposed there. So this is where rocks have slid past each other in ancient earthquakes, probably a whole series of ancient earthquakes. And as the rocks slide past each other, they grind up and form a very fine crushed layer of rock, which is what we'd call a fault rock. And these fault rocks are easily identifiable when you go out and look in the field. And geologists spend a lot of time mapping fault rocks in different parts of the world. And rocks fault a lot. What's different about the Outer Isles fault is that the rocks have been ground up so much and probably quite quickly such that there was a small amount of melting. So if you squash rocks together and have a big fracture that moves in earthquakes, the stresses involved in the growth and development of that fracture can be so great that the rock doesn't get just ground up into a fine powder, which is a special name called cataclasite, but the rocks can actually melt a little bit as well. And there are traces of this melt, called pseudotachylite, along the Outer Isles Fault, if you wander around the Outer Hebrides. So one idea is that you can actually generate the melt in a single earthquake. So the energy released in a single earthquake is concentrated on the plain where the rocks are sliding past each other. And that energy can be sufficient to make a small amount of melting. So basically you're converting the energy generated in the earthquake into another form, which is heat, which causes melting. So in a sense, it's frictional melting. You can compare what you see in the Outer Isles, where you're looking at essentially a fossil fault. So mercifully, the Outer Isles fault is no longer active, and it's not been active for a very, very long time. But you can learn about what happens and how faults develop by going to places in the world where you have active faulting, which is generating earthquakes today. So we could almost have picked any example, but in any large earthquake, you would expect to get grinding and powdering of rocks and maybe even a little bit of melting. The big challenge, of course, would be to actually see that happening actively. One problem is that the earthquakes nucleate at quite considerable depths, maybe 10 or more kilometres depth. And of course, you can't go down there terribly easily, and you certainly can't go down there in the middle of an earthquake. So while you can learn a lot from actively moving faults, there are limitations in terms of seeing exactly what's going on within the fault zone because it's at depth. So the idea is you can learn about active deformation, and then you can also learn about the inner guts of a fault by going to somewhere like the Outer Isles. But one of them is a fossil and one of them isn't. So there's still a bit of a problem, if you like.